Copcast, episode 120, Sunday, April 26th, 2009.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
110 pursuit.
110's in pursuit, 2357, 1020, 110.
Welcome to Copcast, a weekly podcast where we discuss cop and tech issues. I'm Rich Shoemaker, and I'm coming to you from the Digital Command Center, located in the sunny Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia.
And I'm Mac Pettigrew, broadcasting from the Timmins, Ontario outpost.
And this is Morgan Wright saluting all those CIA agents out there who waterboarded Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I salute you.
They waterboarded him 183 times. Did you watch David Letterman last? Well, I better finish this. We want to thank you for downloading and listening to this week's show. Morgan, did you watch David Letterman last night?
I don't watch David
Letterman
anymore. He's not funny anymore.
Oh, he was funny last night. He said, you know, that they waterboarded this guy 183 times. He said, now that, you know, the purpose behind waterboarding is it's supposed to make the person believe with all their heart and soul that they're drowning. He said, how many times did it take before this guy finally realized that he was not drowning? 183 times?
Yeah, baby. They should have rounded it out to an even 200. You know how I like them even numbers.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you, that is kind of dicey, man.
No, I tell you what. You go, but you read the rest of the memos, and I agree with all the other people say you need to release all the memos. But when you go in and even read the ones that were released, it led to the disruption of a 17-member cell that was going to do the same thing the second wave and fly planes into Los Angeles. There are some people who are discounting that, but you know something? There's a lot of live people in Los Angeles right now that ought to be thanking them. Whether they think it might have happened or not, they're safe.
Well, you know, that's the trouble. It's always hard to prove a negative. You know, how do you prove that you stopped something from happening, you know, like that? Yep. It's very difficult to prove. But the fact of the matter is I'm sure that what came out of Cuba down there helped out in a lot of respects. But what's scary now is it looks like you know, there's been some backpedaling. Initially, they weren't going to hold people accountable for doing what they thought was a lawful act at the time, and now it seems like they're starting to backpedal on that.
Yeah, it's the high hard one coming at you. But you know something? To kind of lighten things up, I am declaring Friday, April 24th. By the time you guys get the show, it'll already happen. So let's make it Friday, May 1st. I am declaring National Waterboarding Day.
Is this where we can pick out all those people we don't like and waterboard their ass?
You damn Skippy, baby. I mean, we suspend the Constitution for one day and you waterboard the people who need it. So you little scumbags out there in my neighborhood and the two people we still haven't caught for the homicides in my county, we're coming at you.
Hey, Mac, aren't you glad you live in Canada?
Well, you see, we can't waterboard anybody up here because it's always frozen.
Yeah.
ice boarding. Yeah. And let me tell you, when they drop ice chunks on your head, that's a hell of a lot harder than that water.
I'm telling you.
Just have to have an icicle with one of those real sharp ones hanging down and just wait for it to melt.
Well, Morgan, did you do anything this week beside bitch about the waterboarding incident or what?
Yeah, you know, that's actually, it was beautiful. I had the Camaro out last week and going to have it out again this weekend. It is beautiful, sunny, not a single cloud in the sky, man. It is driving weather, people.
That's right. If those of you that aren't familiar with the great state of Virginia, that's too bad. Mac, what did you do this week?
Got your snowblower out, eh?
No, our snow's been melting. It's been rather good. I've been sicker than a dog all week. I think I caught about a few last week when we did Copcast.
Is that what it is? You got one of the internet viruses off of me?
Yeah, exactly. Went in through my microphone.
I'm telling you, I still have not recovered. I'm still, you know, every night I start drinking NyQuil about 9 o'clock, and I just keep chugging it until I stop coughing or pass out.
Well, I do the same thing, except I use Crown Royal.
You know, I didn't think about that. I probably would have been cheaper than the NyQuil that I've been going through here lately.
No, well, mix is better with Coke.
Yeah. No, I've been using the same thing. I've been just downing every night. I've just been a mess. So, but I'm feeling a little better every day. So I'm back to work tomorrow. I've been on my 4 days off. And so tomorrow I'll go back at it and we'll see how it goes. Actually, I'm going to take my motorcycle to work tomorrow morning. When I get up, it's supposed to be +3 degrees, but by the end of the day, around +18. So it'll be a little chilly.
And of course, that's Celsius. So that's...
Yeah, Celsius. Yeah.
Just want to make a point of that. Well, you know, I've just been kind of trying to fight off this cold or survive from it. I'm figuring it's about another 2 or 3 days before I master it. But it's been so beautiful here, and I've been riding a bike and carrying on. Looking, I think I'm going to do some hiking this weekend. It's looking at like it's going to be about mid-80s Saturday and Sunday, so it's going to be great.
You know, Morgan, he said he was going to master it. I was wondering, ooh.
Going to go out all by himself? And
all by myself. Geez, that'll be the first time that ever happened. Okay.
I don't want to know, Rich.
Hey, well, I think we've put together another great show this week. But before we fire up that news machine, how about taking a peek in the mailbag here, Mac?
I reach way down in the mailbag, and I'm talking to Anthony W. Smith, who's an investigator with the Belton City Police Department, who wrote in to say, Southern, on a previous episode, you misquoted the Southern redneck before death. I'm not sure what story he's talking about.
We remember we were saying, I forget what we were talking about. It was like, hey, hold my beer and watch this or something like this.
Okay. But he says the correct quote is, I don't know if I can do it. You guys would be better doing it.
No, it's, hey, y'all, watch this.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah. So, and he says, keep up the good humor. It makes the night patrol go faster.
And anything we can do to make the night patrol go faster is a good thing.
Oh, that's for sure. But we only last an hour. Not even an hour. Maybe half an hour.
Matt, yeah, you'd be so lucky to last an hour.
Oh, that was a good. I knew that one was coming, too. Yeah. Well, see, the key is to play Copcast at a strategic time, you know, that hour right before the sun comes up when you just don't think you can hold your eyelids open anymore. And then we'll help you stay awake.
And as the attorney, we cannot be legally held responsible for falling asleep while listening to Copcast and driving into a tree. So Yes. You've been warned.
So remember, we really like to hear from all of our listeners, whether you're asleep or not. So if you have a comment, suggestion, or a good cop story, send us an email at talkback@copcast.net.
Okay, boys. Pick up your chairs. Let's move over into the newsroom and get started with those offbeat stories that I guarantee you will not hear anywhere else. So let me kick it off with my first story, and this one's out of Scotland. 8 police officers serving with Scotland's largest force listed their official religion as Jedi in voluntary diversity forms. As a result, these have emerged as a result of kind of a freedom of information request. The Strathclyde, is that right, Morgan? Strathclyde?
I think that's right, yeah. Strathclyde, yeah.
Strathclyde police said that officers and 2 of its civilian staff claimed to follow the faith, which features the Star Wars movies. The details were obtained in a Freedom of Information request by Jane's Police Review. Strathclyde was the only force in the UK to admit it actually had Jedi officers. In the Star Wars films, Jedi Knights such as Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Yoda used the Force to battle the evil Darth Vader, who strayed to the dark side. Jane's Police Review... Oh, here we go. I knew that was coming. Jane's Police Review editor, Chris Herbert, who requested the information, said the Force appears to be strong in the Strathclyde Police, with their Jedi police officers and staff. The spokeswoman for the Strathclyde Police confirmed at the time of the request, 10 personnel, 8 police officers and 2 police staff, had recorded their religion as Jedi. She added that the force monitored 6 strands of diversity that include age, disability, gender, race, religion and belief, and sexual orientation. The force said that the information was provided voluntarily and securely stored. About 390,000 people listed their religion as Jedi in the 2001 census for England and Wales. In Scotland, the figure was reported at 14,000. The Office of National Statistics did not recognize it as a separate category and incorporated followers of the Jedi religion with atheists. Last year, brothers Barney and Daniel Jones founded the UK Church of the Jedi, which offers sermons on the Force, lightsaber training, and meditation techniques. Strathclyde Police employs about 8,200 cops and 2,800 civilian staff.
And you know, the devil sounds like this.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Liz, you are my son.
Do you think somebody was embarrassed when this shit came out?
That's what they say after the graduation. Oh, we could go on this. We could do one story and the sound effects around this. We would be going all night long.
I think we better let it go. I think the story speaks for itself. And but I'm going to look into this Jedi thing. I think that's pretty cool. I like Yoda. He's my man.
The Force will be with you always.
Well, Mac, pull us out of this abyss.
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about one of your favorite banks. Last Thursday, a man walked into the Wachovia Bank. Isn't that one that you pulled on your
phone? Hiss, hiss. Go ahead.
What the hell was that?
That was the sound of my damn 401k trashing when when they crashed this year.
Okay.
I lost a ton of money with that deal.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, last Thursday, a man walked into the Wachovia Bank at the 2700 block of Smith, wherever the hell that is, and reportedly told the teller he had a gun and ordered her to give him the money. Fearing for her life, the teller gave the man some cash bundles and exploding dye packs in them, as they usually do. The suspect stuffed the money down his pants, of course, and he ran out of the bank. Now, police were able to arrest Daniel Duran a short time later after the dye packs exploded. While still allegedly down his pants, Duran was taken to the area hospital with second-degree burns to his genital area. No weapon
his
was found.
Area?
In, no weapon was found in his pants.
Well, that's a personal problem.
Yeah, that does sound like one to me.
But which area was that, Mac?
Genital.
The Gentile area. I'm going, is this a Jewish thing or what now?
Okay, his dick. His dick area.
So that's the dick report. You got that all wrong.
Yeah, you got to watch them genital areas.
That's all I have to say.
I'm glad. Let's go. Let's all go hop on the epileptic machine and. Morgan, talk to me, big boy. Talk to me.
You guys only have me on the show just so you can make fun of me. I'm like that corner retard there.
But you're not like the corner retard, Mac. You are the corner retard. Morgan, go with your first story.
Well, let me tell you, this one, if I was this dude, I wouldn't be admitting this. Joshua Griffin, a 21-year-old Texas man, was arrested Tuesday for purse snatching after a 44-year-old woman chased his ass down and held him until police arrived. So according to Galveston Police, Griffin swiped a purse from a woman who was waiting at a Seawall Boulevard restaurant. And although the man got away, witnesses were able to give police a description of the suspect, namely by a star tattoo on the back of his neck. Great job. That's a great way to identify yourself. Griffin then appeared at a nearby restaurant about an hour later and attempted to steal another purse. This time, however, his luck ran out. 44-year-old Jacqueline Boss was watching a friend's purse when Griffin grabbed it off the table and attempted to flee the scene. Boss got up and chased the suspect out of the building and over a 5-foot wall behind the restaurant. Now, this is one tough lady. When attempting to leap over the wall, Boss broke her leg below the kneecap. Yowch! She was, however, able to hold on to Griffin, who was also injured in the jump. 5 men from the restaurant pounced on Griffin and detained him until police arrived. And if you could see this dude's mugshot, he got his ass whipped there at the scene. She goes, "I'm 44 years old and I jumped the wall like I was 24, Boss said. My leg snapped right below the knee. He was trying to say we jumped him for no reason. The woman underwent surgery on her leg and is expected to make a full recovery. But Griffin, the wiener, was booked into the Galveston County Jail on a charge of theft. Bail in his case was set at only $5,000, but at least it was an even amount."
What do you say?
There I was, minding my own business, walking down a restaurant when some lady beat my ass and threw me over a fence. There's your alibi.
Yeah, that'll work. You know, I don't think we're hitting on our first round. You know, if we were on like American Idol, they would be ripping us a new one for this first round. So let's try to kind of build up steam and see if we can do a little bit better on the second round. How about it?
I'm with you. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to come up with a better story.
Hello. I quit. Well, you know, I've always found that when we start having problems with our stories in Copcast, we always end up somehow going to either blow-up dolls or naked women. So let me try to pull us out with a naked woman story. A Scranton woman faces aggravated and simple assault charges for fighting with a firefighter who was trying to get her to leave an apartment building where a fire had been reported. Firefighter John Judge was attempting to clear people out of a smoky second-floor apartment on Saturday at about 10 p.m. when he was confronted by a naked 27-year-old Amanda Masker. When Mr. Judge told her to get her clothes on and get out, Ms. Masker cursed him, pushed him, then struck him in the chest with her fist several times. Mr. Judge, who was not injured, escorted the struggling woman downstairs where she was arrested by officers who were called in to assist. The smoke was traced to the kitchen stove where Ms. Masker had tried to heat up chicken wings but turned on the wrong burner. Police noticed paper material that appeared to have been burnt on the stove, and so she was the one that was responsible for the fire, too. So
what was the problem? I don't understand.
You know, there's a little piece of me that likes to hear a story every now and then where the firefighters get beat up. Everybody always loves the firefighters, and they're spitting on the cops, and they're, you know, hugging the firefighters. So it's kind of neat that they get to play sometimes too. All right, Matt, give me your second one.
I'm just reading my next story, and I'm laughing already. Because I'm sure this was Morgan. You know the problem he had with his internet? I think he still has. But anyway, this man has been charged for exposing himself to a worker who was trying to fix his slow internet connection. You know, the guy's just trying to help you out, and what do? The computer technician who works for the company Comcast appeared in court as a prosecution witness in a prelim in Livingston County District Court, Michigan, where Chris Philip Trikes, 45, who's been ordered to stand trial on the charge of indecent exposure. He was accused of revealing his dick to the, to the worker. Trikes was previously convicted of indecent exposure in 99, for which he was sentenced for 10 days of community service of washing windows with his dick. I don't know. The technician said he went to Trikes' home in Howell after Trikes complained his internet service was slow. Well, at the defendant's home, the technician said Trikes discussed pornographic websites he visited online. At that point, he pulled out his penis, wiggling at the worker, trying to get him to work faster, I would imagine. I don't know. So if you have a slow internet connection, please don't call Comcast because they're going to rat you out.
So yeah, apparently you can call Verizon because I noticed Morgan's has sped up quite a bit here lately. Did you get the name of that guy? Because this is sounding really, really familiar.
Yeah, but the guy had to come back to Morgan's two or three times.
Yeah, go figure. Well, Morgan, it's your turn.
All right, man. My next one comes right out of Cheech and Chong, man. Gainesville, Florida, dude. Jonathan James Sweat. An 18-year-old Florida man was arrested Tuesday after smoking doobies and then crashing his vehicle into the state attorney's office. Well, if you're going to do it, go large, baby. He then informed officers he couldn't be arrested for DUI because he was stoned, not drunk. So according to Gainesville police, Sweat crashed his Ford Ranger into a large window at the state attorney's office while under the influence of marijuana. Police officer at the scene conducted 3 field sobriety tests, which Sweat failed. He was then taken to the police station for observation and to complete a breath test. Sweat had not been drinking. That's negative. It was then investigators say Sweat informed them they weren't going to be able to arrest him for DUI because he hadn't been drinking. He stated that all he did was smoke some marijuana, according to the arrest report. So he was taken to a local hospital for treatment but refused to cooperate with medical staff, according to the report. He was booked into the Alachua Alachua County Jail on charges of driving under the influence and property damage. And it was rumored that as part of his booking procedure, he asked for 47 bags of chips. Yeah.
Dude, some donuts, dude.
Hey, man, I was driving along, and guess who I ran into? The state attorney's office. Same sons of bitches you're going to prosecute me.
Yeah, shit. Okay. As the crowd begins to thin out.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude, the crowd loves us. Can't you hear it? No, wait for it. There it
no,
is.
I can't.
There it is. Thank you. Our studio audience.
Yeah, our studio audience.
Live and in color. Studio 54.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do better with round three. How about that?
No.
Hopefully.
No. Well, you know, look at it this way. We can't do much worse. Okay, so as we enter into round three, we're like three punch-drunk old fighters just trying to stay on our feet. So let's see if we can't get this fight fired up a little bit here. My final story. A teenager suspected of car burglary was so surprised when he opened a car door to find a police officer sitting inside that he messed his pants. It happened about 1 a.m. Saturday as Salt Lake County Sheriff's Deputy Chad Taylor was returning to his Centerville home from from working a shift, you know. Anyways, Taylor says, I was in my personal vehicle, but I was in uniform. I'd pulled into my driveway and was on the phone with another deputy when I looked in the rearview mirror and saw this guy trying to get into my wife's car. Taylor watched the teen, then moved up toward his car. Taylor said, right as his hand goes to check my handle, I kicked the door open. You'd better stop right there, police. I'm not kidding. It was as quiet as can be, and I heard, and off he goes. The 16-year-old boy turned and ran, chased by Taylor, who called 911 as he ran after the teen through the neighborhood. The boy was scrambling so fast he lost his shoes. Eventually, Centerville police responded to help catch the soiled panty burglar.
Dude, there's a guy, me and another guy were working security at a dance one night. A guy named Bobby Marquin was out in his truck cutting lines of coke on a CD case. And me and this guy named Dave Slaughter, we go, okay, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. We thought he would see us. He's sitting in a parking lot, dome light on. He reaches in, grabs him. I grab him on the other side. We pull him out. We handcuff him. Well, where we had the dance was, it sat on the city-county line. So we had the sheriffs come down. We told them what we had. They picked him up. They took him up to the jail as they were patting him down. Guess what he had done? He crapped his pants. So I'm like, I saw this story. And I went, Rich, I'm with you, man. Bobby Marquin, yeah, you know who you are out there. You crapped your pants. Thank God I didn't search you.
Aren't you happy that there's just some people in the world that just never forget your indiscretions, you know?
Or their names,
and are willing to actually put your name on the internet like that. That's special.
I can't remember if I washed my hair. Go ahead,
Morgan. You washed your hair and you brushed it the usual 100 strokes each night. Mac,
I can't remember if I washed my hair.
Oh, jumping.
What do you got for me, Mackie?
You know what? I just did a pre-read, and I can't believe I have the third dick story here, but here we go. This comes from Russia, April 15th. Russian police said a female hairdresser was arrested for allegedly keeping an unsuccessful armed robber bound as a sex slave for 2 days. Who says that crime does not pay? The website life.ru quoted police as saying the 32-year-old man entered the hair salon at around 5 p.m. on March 14th. He brandished a gun and demanded money from the workers and customers. However, the 28-year-old hairdresser, who has a martial arts training, disarmed the man and bound him with a hair dryer cord. And police then told the newspaper that the woman then allegedly kept the man gagged and handcuffed to a radiator for 48 hours. Excuse me. She was accused of forcing him to take Viagra and forcing him to have sex with her multiple times. That poor bastard. The woman let her prisoner go 2 days later. And he directly went to the police after seeking treatment for injuries to his tallywhacker. a good one, Morgan. I'm sure you're the one that changed that one. The website said the man filed a complaint asking for the hairdresser to be brought up on charges for actions of sexual nature. The woman filed a complaint the next day seeking armed robbery charges against the man. I don't know what's going to happen now, said the police.
We got them both behind bars, him for robbery and her for rape and assault. So, so what's the problem?
I'm not
paid his dues.
I'm not getting it. I don't understand.
Hello, Morgan. Hello.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Morgan, do your third story. Let's get the hell out of here. There's no way that you can come up with a story good enough to salvage this show.
I don't think so either. So hell, we're just going to go for it. So for a crime that the judge remarked could have been shown on the world's dumbest criminals, a Plumstead man was sentenced Thursday to 16 to 36 months in a state prison for bank robbery that went, unfortunately for him, comically wrong. Thomas Fetter of Stump Road, he's 25, must serve four years of probation and undergo substance abuse and mental health evaluations. His girlfriend and getaway driver, Melissa Lamina, 22 of Doylestown, received a time served sentence for her part in the botched heist. So what happened? The robbery occurred November 3rd at the First National Bank and Trust Company of Newton on South Main Street. A teller called police because Fetter was acting suspicious, standing around the bank wearing dark sunglasses and a scarf wrapped around his face. Well, there's a clue, folks. Fetter approached the counter and handed the teller a bank slip with a message, "Put the cash on the counter now," written on it. He was given a bag with more than $5,600 in it and ran out the door. So a witness alerted police, and a police officer was waiting outside the bank for Fetter as he tried to escape. So with dollar bills fluttering out of the bag, the robber darted from the officer and ran, but boom, right into the side of the police car. So he fell to the ground and was subdued after a brief struggle. So you think that, so if you're the getaway driver, what do? You get the hell out of there, right? No. So Lamina, his girlfriend, was waiting in their getaway car at a nearby parking lot. When Fetter didn't come back, what did she do? She went to the police station to look for him. So police questioned her and found two hand-drawn maps of the crime scene and directions to the bank in her car. So Fetter admitted to police that he and his girlfriend came up with a robbery plan after reading newspaper articles about several recent unsolved bank robberies in the Doylestown area. They decided Fetter looked a lot like the suspect, and they figured they would get caught. The other guy would get caught and get blamed for their robbery. So James, the judge, said he agreed the robbers, or the prosecutor said he agreed the robbers could star in a TV show about dumb bandit, but said the bank employees who were robbed didn't think the crime was that funny. So, but what great timing, man. I would have loved to have a camera on to see the guy run out just like a Three Stooges thing, run into the right into the side of a police car. Would have made my day.
Well, thank God that'll about do it for this week's stories.
Can't you imagine the first thing he said running out the door? Hey, y'all, watch this.
Hey, you know what we can do? I've come up with a solution. You know how we always thank our Copcast correspondents for contributing stories to the show this week?
Yeah, this.
let's do it this. We want to blame Steve Nelson, Sergeant TC, and Sarah Roberts, our Copcast correspondents for this week, for contributing these shitty stories for this week's show.
Yeah.
But wait. We still have one more thing that can possibly pull this show out of the shitter.
You think?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
One more thing?
Yeah, because this week we have another installment from The Life of George, our new audio segment from Great Britain. So let's just kick back and listen to George's next big adventure.
That's right, folks. It's now time for the British Beat.
For some years in the UK, there has been a policy to introduce people suffering mental health issues back into the community and remove them from institutions so that they can lead more normal lives than they would if they were shut away in a hospital. The system relies on selecting the patients who will benefit from living in the community and providing them with appropriate support in the form of accommodation, visiting healthcare workers, and properly prescribed treatment. Unfortunately, there are times when insufficient resources are available or patients refuse to be treated, and it is then that the police are called upon to help them. Anyone who questions whether this system of care in a community works need only spend a night duty with the officers on a response relief. They don't blame anyone, they often just feel that they're the wrong tool to use. George comes into contact with those suffering from mental health problems on a fairly frequent basis. Take last night. He attended a call from someone stating they were receiving disgusting text messages. The controller stated that the caller was rambling and not making much sense. George told his probationer that he knew the address and that it was an apartment complex where social services placed patients who were being treated in the community, and told her to be alert. Upon arrival, they were let into the address by Stephen. Now, Stephen was in his mid-40s, heavily built and about 6 foot tall. He was a skinhead, covered in tattoos. George made a quick scan of the room, and his eyes were immediately drawn to a set of kitchen knives on the floor next to the TV. He made eye contact with his probationer, trying to draw attention to the same. She got the message. The conversation then went something like this. "What's going on, Stephen?" "It's them dirty bastards sending me text messages about me mum." "Have you still got them on your phone, Stephen?" "Deleted them. Didn't want to look at them. They get me angry." "Okay, what do you want us to do?" "Stop them sending me them texts." "Who is it? Do you know who's sending them?" "No, I just told you. I deleted them. Take my phone and catch them." "Okay, Stephen, but if we take your phone, there's not going to be any evidence on it." "Catch them, or I'll use my knives. I'll stab anyone coming through my door." At this point, the mood changed from slightly concerned to absolutely bricking it. George looked at the probationer and, using a Jedi mind trick, urged her to get closer to the door. This didn't work. Stephen then stood up and walked towards the TV and the knives. George grabbed the probationer by the arm and pulled her towards the door. Stephen stopped and looked at them. "What are you doing?" he asked.
Leaving," replied George.
Stephen began to throw things around his room as they dived out of the door.
"Leaving?" he shouted. "What are you going to do about my texts?"
George muttered something about calling the police when he got another one, or calling at the police station, and then scuttled down the stairs, followed by a torrent of abuse, not all of it directed at him or anyone in particular. They got outside and made rapid updates to control, and had warning markers placed on the address. Then they hightailed it out of there to begin the long process of liaising with social services and mental health practitioners to ensure a long-term solution to Stephen's problems. It's forced policy to now wear a ballistic vest at all times outside of the police station. For once, George was glad that he actually paid attention to force orders.
Hey, you know, I'm thinking that the Riz and Michael get better every week. What do you think?
I think they've done a jolly good show this week. What do you say, Mike?
You know what? If you keep that up, I'm going to go ahead and put that little MP3 file that they sent over here, the one that was special for you, I'm going to put that on the next show.
Good. I dare you. Go ahead. I can take it and bring it on. We won the war. It's okay.
I forgot about that. Yeah. You don't see any red coats around here, do you? Huh? Hey, look, I got to thinking, you know, here we've gotten a few names in, suggestions for names for the show and all that stuff. But I think that Michael and Kevin ought to be the ones that pick the name. What do you think?
Well, I always said we should have called it the Rizzo Report with Michael Dickey.
Or the Dick Report, given as from Rizzo. I don't know. Whatever they want, I'm happy with.
Yeah, I think that's what we, but you know, this has gone on about long enough now. This is the fifth episode, and we still don't have a name for this damn segment. So I think Kevin and Michael are going to have to knock their heads together, listen to the suggestions that we already have. They've heard those already, and come up with a name for their report. And what we're going to do is next week in the audio file, they can surprise us and put the name in there.
Well, you know, it's such a short segment. Maybe we ought to call it the Quickie Dickie.
Oh, Jesus. I mean,
why not you? Some people say why. I say why not.
Thank God we didn't receive any training announcements this week, so we may be able to get the hell out of here very soon. But hey, if you are a criminal justice agency or a training organization and you have some type of training event or announcement that you'd like us to make for you, all you have to do is send it to talkback@copcast.net, and we'll be happy to announce your event or training course.
And the same thing with job opportunities. We're pleased to announce. We're pleased to be able to help any criminal justice agencies find and hire the best qualified people.
So if your agency's hiring, just send us some little information about the job. We'll announce it on the next show.
And if your agency needs a linguist, Mac is available.
You know, I think it's about time to pull the plug on the blow-up doll that is the episode 120 of Copcast. But we want to thank you for taking your time to listen to Copcast. There it goes. You know, this is going to be about 30 minutes of your life that you'll never be able to get back. But be sure and let your friends and fellow officers know about the show. Also, remember that my Twitter name is Copcast. Morgan's is TTBL, and Max is Canada Cops, and you can follow us at twitter.com. If you haven't done so already, sign up for a free account and give it a try over there.
And please keep those comments coming. I don't know. We definitely need some more Copcast correspondents because y'all are fired this week. You're gone. Whack.
I think they had a down week, man. I don't know what to say.
I don't know what it is, man. So if you want to be a Copcast correspondent, you can send it to I Love Viagra and I Like to Be Beaten by Russian Women at TalkBack, or actually at copcast.net, or just make it easier, guys. We'll shorten it down to TalkBack at copcast.net and put in the subject line Quickie Dickie.
There you go. And before I ask, somebody sent an MP3 file in. Morgan, I just wanted to announce that you can now get Two Guys Unleashed on iTunes. The actual video vidcast of it is on iTunes. So go to iTunes, do a search for Two Guys Unleashed, and you'll get us to download the show. Just a little plug there. Anyway, so better yet, if you have a computer and a microphone, send us an audio comment. We'll be sure to use your comments on the next show and make fun of you as we do to our British comrades. Just send us in an MP3 file.
But most importantly, people, waterboard your local terrorists, and above all, stay safe.
And always wear your vest.
So from the whole crew at Copcast, have a great week.
It's over, thank God.
I didn't think it was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows.
That's just in. I'm pissed off.
That's all, folks.